Well, good morning, everyone. If we haven't met before, my name's John Joe Burns. I'm the associate pastor here, and it's my privilege to help us learn more about God and examine more about him right now. So why don't we pray as we come to do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you pour out on us daily. We especially thank you for your love shown to us in so many ways. We pray that we would love as you have loved us. Please bless our time together now. Amen. Well, what do you love? What do you love? We've been doing a series on love for the past month or so, and I don't think we've asked this question yet. So take a moment now. Think, what or who do you love? Thought of some? Okay, good. Well, there are many answers to that question, aren't there? There's lots of different answers. I could say, for example, that I love my family. I love my mum, I love my dad, I even love my brothers, I guess. Or I could say, if I've been listening to the sermon series recently, I could say that I love God, and I love one another, and I love my neighbour. I was listening, yeah. Or I could say, I love caramel mud cake. I mean, technically, that's still a valid answer to the question, but it kind of falls into a different category, wouldn't you say? When I say I love caramel mug cake, you would hope at least, it's a different kind of love to the way I say I love my family. We all know this intuitively. There are different kinds of love. Today, our sermon is entitled, Love the Planet. And as we begin, I think it's good for us to think about how we understand loving the planet. Do we see it in the same category as loving God and loving others? Or is it more along the lines of a thing that we really like me and caramel mug cake? Do we say, oh, I love the planet, it's really good that we have one, and there are parts of the planet that are really pretty. I especially love those parts of the planets. I take photos of them sometimes so I can look at them later. How do we and how should we understand loving the planet? Well, today we're going to look at what it means to love the planet. And to do that, we're going to look at two questions. Before we get to our questions, though, I have a little side question to get us started. Not one of the two main questions, a little introductory question, if you like. And that is, what is the planet? What is the planet? When we're talking about loving the planet, what are we talking about? What is the planet? Well, for the purpose of today's sermon, when we talk about the planet, we're talking about everything on and to do with planet Earth except humans. Everything on and to do with planet Earth except humans. So yes, there are people on the planet, but we're not focusing on them today. And yes, there's the whole universe, but we're not focusing on that either. Instead, we're talking about everything that's on the Earth and everything to do with the Earth except humans. Make sense? Okay. Well, then the first of our two main questions is, why should we love the planet? Why should we love the planet? I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of things going on in my life, and loving the planet sounds like just another thing that I've got to make time for, so why do I have to do it? Why should we love the planet? Well, to help us answer that question, we have to go back to the very beginning of everything. Christians believe that God created everything. God created the universe, God created the planet, God created nature, and God created humans. God created you and God created me. We read stories about God creating at the very beginning of the Bible. And these stories help us understand not just what God made, but why he made it. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. That's the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, so I think it might be on page 1 of your Bibles. More specifically, look with me at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This verse comes just after God has filled the sky and the sea and the land with all sorts of creatures. And as we read this verse, keep in mind our question, why should we love the planet? Here's what Genesis 1:26 says. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over all the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. What do you see in there? Did you see a reason in there as to why we might need to love the planet? Well, we should love the planet because we've been created to. We've been created to. Look at that verse again. God says, let's make human beings so that they may rule over all the creatures. We've been created to rule over all the creatures, rule over all the planet. Now, you might be thinking, but hold on, Jonjo, it doesn't say love in that verse anywhere. It says that we're to rule. And you'd be right, the verse doesn't explicitly say love anywhere. The word is in the verse. But if we think that we can rule the planet properly without loving the planet, then I think our ruling is going to fall far short of what God expects of us. Turn the page in your Bibles with me and come to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And here we see another description of what God made human beings to do. Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. To work it and take care of it. So here, again, we see that human beings are created to care for, to love the planet. Starting with this instruction to care for the garden that they were in at the time. Now, this relationship that's meant to exist between humanity and the planet is often called stewardship. Humans are to be stewards of the planet. Now, this word is getting at the idea that the planet isn't ours. As we read in the rest of Genesis 1 and 2, God created the planet and everything in it. The planet isn't ours, but we have been tasked with looking after it, to care for it, to love it. We are stewards who are caring for something that ultimately belongs to somebody else. In this case, belongs to God. And we're called to not just steward it, but steward it well. When I was a teenager, my family would often go on holidays. Some of these holidays would be fairly long. We're from the UK, and sometimes we go back to the UK to visit family, and we'd be away for a few months. And when we were going to be away for a long time, we would organise house sitters. Somebody to come and stay at our house and look after it while we were away. So they'd be responsible for making sure the dog was okay and bringing in the mail and doing some cleaning. And they got to do all of that while they were living in our house. In essence, they were stewards of our house while we were away. They were tasked with looking after it. Now, imagine for a second that we come back from one of our holidays and we find rotting food in the sink, and a hole in the wall, and stains on the carpet, and our dog locked out the back in a small cage with no food. We would quickly conclude that these house sitters, these stewards of our house, didn't love us at all. They had been given responsibility to care for, to rule over our house while we were away, and they hadn't done that at all. We've been given responsibility to care for, to rule over, to love God's planet. Do we? This brings us to a second reason why we should love the planet. We should love the planet because it's part of the way that we fulfill our other loves. It's part of the way that we fulfill our other loves. Remember, so far in this series on love, we've looked at loving God and loving one another and loving our neighbours. And loving the planet is a way that we can show those other loves. For example, we've just seen that the planet is God's and we're called to love God, So why wouldn't we love what he's made? How can we say that we love God, but then mistreat his planet? That's like those house sitters, right? If we come back to a trashed house, and the house sitters say to us, oh, welcome back, we love you, and we looked around at our house, we go, no, you don't. One way that we love God is by loving the planet that he has made. And we're called to love people too, right? Love our neighbours, love one another. Well, last time I checked, everybody lives on the planet. So loving the planet is a good way to show love for others as well, indirectly at least. We should love the planet because we've been created to, and because it's one of the ways that we can fulfill our other loves. Now, you might be objecting at this point in your mind and thinking, but Jonjo, surely this doesn't mean that we have to love all of the planet, right? What about natural disasters? What about pandemics? Surely we don't have to love those. Well, that's a fair question to ask. And again, we'll turn to the beginning of the Bible to help us answer it. You see, after Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 comes Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, we see humans reject God and choose to live their own way instead. And as a result of this rejection, a lot of things become dislocated. They become broken. They're not the way that they should be. The relationship between God and humans is broken. The relationship between humans and other humans is broken. And the planet becomes broken as well. Everything, including the planet, is affected by humanity's rejection of God. That explains why we have things like natural disasters and pandemics. This isn't how the planet is meant to be. This is the effect of sin on the planet. Romans chapter 8, verse 22 says that the whole creation, that is the planet, is groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. The planet is groaning in pain. We may call them natural disasters, but they're not that natural at all. They're the cries of a broken planet. Yet just because these things exist doesn't mean that we don't love the planet. Just like, for example, we can see the effects of sin in other people, but still love them. We can see the effects of sin on the planet and still love it. We are to love the planet. This brings us to our second question then. Our second question is, how should we love the planet? How should we love the planet? Well, any answer to this question has to draw on our understanding of the first question. We have to understand why we should love the planet to understand how we should love the planet. And like we've just seen, we know that we've been made and called to rule the planet, so we should love it by ruling well. By ruling well. That's how we go about loving the planet, by fulfilling our duty and ruling well. But what does it look like to rule well? Well, perhaps it's easier to look at what it looks like to rule badly. Let's go back to our house-sitting example for a minute. If they've been really bad house-sitters, what might they do and what might they say when we come home? Maybe, oh, I got really angry at one point and so I just punched a hole in the wall. Or, oh, I was too lazy to clean the bathroom while you were away for 3 months, so you might not want to go in there anymore. Or, oh, I felt like having fun, and so I threw a huge party. That's why there's so many stains all over the carpet. Can you see how that might transition to ruling the planet badly? Oh, we got a bit angry at that country over there, so we salted their land. Oh, we were too lazy to clean half for ourselves, so you probably shouldn't swim at that beach anymore. Oh, we felt like having a bit of fun, so we threw a huge party, but we kind of trashed the park that we were meeting in. These are just some examples. But I think it helps us understand what it looks like to rule badly, and therefore help us understand what it looks like to rule well. Still, you might want some more practical examples. Jonjo, you say in your mind, just tell me exactly how can I love the planet? Well, there are many, many, many things out there. You Google it, you'll get things for days. But here are a few practical things that you might consider potentially doing if you want to love the planet. Now, I've put them in the form of an acronym, BEV, to help us understand them. We'll see how it goes. Nothing to do with the actual BEV, just how it worked out. So let's see how this goes. B stands for BY. BY. And under B, you're going to love this. There's another acronym. APE. That's okay. That's the last acronym. There's no more acronyms after this, I promise. I got a bit carried away. Okay. So when we're thinking about buying, we could think about the amount of stuff we buy. How much do you buy and how much do you really need? Consumerism is one of the idols of Western societies like Australia, and every purchase we make has an environmental impact. So when you go to buy something, ask, do I really need this? Or do I really need this much? Is this loving the planet? If you do need to buy it, then consider P, plastics. Oh, sounds just like one of those articles you read online. I'm sorry. But yes, plastics have their place in society, definitely. They're very helpful, but sometimes they're a little unnecessary, particularly in packaging. So see if there's a way of buying things without using lots of plastics. Or if you do have to buy them with plastics, consider recycling them. There's soft plastic recycling at places like Coles and Woolworths. So maybe we can love the planet by recycling properly too. And then the E is ethical. Is the product you're buying ethical? By that I mean, is it produced in a way that loves people and loves the planet? Are the people that made it paid a living wage? Are the resources that were used to produce it grown or harvested sustainably? Is what you're buying ethical? Now, to help you on this front, Baptist World Aid, which is a group that the Baptist churches fund to look after people and the planet, have produced an ethical fashion guide which rates clothing brands on how well they love people and love the planet in producing their clothes. So you might want to research that and download a copy of it and take it shopping with you next time you go to make sure that you're sponsoring and helping brands that look after the planet rather than those that don't. There'll be a QR code on the screen at the end of the service if you want to download it later. Okay, so that's buy. What's the amount of things that we buy? Can we use less plastics when we're buying? And is what we're buying ethical? Then we come to E, the second E, which stands for eat. Everybody loves good food. We all love to eat. But how can we eat to love the planet? Well, firstly, we can reduce our food waste. And secondly, we could reduce our meat consumption as well. Now, I know saying that, I love bacon, so don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we all have to go vegetarian. And I also know that for some of us, eating lots of food or displaying lots of food when we have people around is a sign of good hospitality or wealth. That's just what our culture says. Lots of food is a sign that you are welcome. And so I'm not telling you how to live with any of this, what to do, what not to eat, what to eat, how to have guests around. That's not what we're saying. But what I'm saying is, we need to consider as Christians how we balance all of these things and how we seek to love the planet in including what we eat. That's the E. And then we have V, which stands for vote. Now, again, I know lots of you here don't have voting rights in Australia, but if you do, or wherever you have voting rights, then consider the planet when you choose how to vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Again, I'm not here to tell you what to do exactly. But governments have a large impact on what happens to the planet. So I encourage you to consider that when you cast your votes. So those are our acronyms then, BEV and APE. Those are a few ways that we can practically love the planet. But of course, you can think of many others, I'm sure. And it's not a matter of ticking these things off and then saying, I've done my job. It comes from our heart first and then impacts our actions. Now, will doing these things make life harder for us? Yes. Yes, they will. But are we called to an easy life? No. Indeed, the same goes for the rest of this series on love that we've been looking at for the past few weeks. Is it easy to love God? Is it easy to love one another? Is it easy to love our neighbor? Love is hard. Anyone who is or has ever been in love will be able to say, love is hard. Love is hard, but it's what we've been called to do. It's what we've been called to do. As we seek to love the planet, this raises another thing that we have to think about. And that is hope. And not just hope, but a realistic hope. You see, no matter how well we love the planet, it can't save us. The planet itself will never be able to save us. Revelation 21, the second last chapter of the Bible, says that one day this planet will pass away and there will be a new planet. This planet that we live on is not eternal. It won't last forever in this form. One day it will cease. But that doesn't mean that we're to do nothing, that we don't care about the planet at all, or that we trash it while we're here. We've already looked at why we're to love the planet. What this does mean, though, is that we can be realistic about our efforts and realistic about our hope. We can know that our efforts are good and worthwhile, but that they will never create a perfect planet. We can try all we want, but we will never create a perfect planet by our own efforts. As for our hope as Christians doesn't come through saving the planet. Instead, our hope comes through Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus, who is God himself come to earth as a man, died and rose again as a foretaste of what is to come. Jesus' resurrection is a preview of what's going to happen in the future. It's a sign that one day we, you, me, and the planet will be resurrected into a beautiful and more glorious state. So then, we don't hope in the planet. We know that Jesus has saved us, and we hope in his resurrection that will come. In the meantime, while we wait for that day, and as we seek to love God and love one another and love our neighbors and love the planet, we turn to God and rely on him for the strength to love. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." All of our love is a result of the love that God has shown to us. So come to God, know and experience his love, and then go and love yourself. That's a brief look at loving the planet. We love it because we've been created to, and it's how we can fulfill our other loves. We love it by ruling well. We do all this so that we can be good stewards. We can be good house sitters of what God has given us, hoping in his resurrection and the resurrection that is to come. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you pour out on us. In particular, we thank you for the blessing of our planet. Lord, we lament how poorly your planet has been ruled at times, and we confess that on occasion we've ruled it poorly too. For those occasions, we ask for your forgiveness. Please help us to rule your planet well, to be good stewards. We pray that you'll help us to take whatever steps we can, knowing that this is also a way that we can love you and love others. We eagerly await the day when both we and the planet will be resurrected. We pray that day would come soon. In the meantime, we pray that you would help us to love. We pray all this in your Son's name.